So I still don't quite know what I'm going to talk about today. But I think what I'm going to talk about is the question that I've often wondered, which is, what did Jesus really teach us? A few years ago, I was telling a friend that I needed to take some time because I was going to be doing a talk on Sunday. And she wanted to know more. And I realized that I hesitated when I said the word talk. I hesitated about whether or not I would say the word church. And now that I'm an ordained minister, I find that there are times when I shy away from admitting that. And the reason is because there's a part of me that recognizes that much, much, much damage has been done in the name of God by the religions of man. And it's led to a society where I do weddings pretty much every weekend. And out of well over 100 weddings, I've had one couple request a religious style ceremony. One. And what I think has happened in the course of us turning away from traditional religion, myself included, is in many ways we've thrown out the baby and the bathwater. And by that I mean that there are some enduring wisdom that can be found in the teachings of Jesus that I think we're missing the boat on, people don't know about, and feel like don't even use that word because of the harm that's been done in the name of God by traditional religious sects, societies, beliefs. And I find that sad because I think we've deprived ourselves from some of these very excellent teachings, from some of the wisdom that Jesus taught, not just in his words, but also in his example. So I was joking with someone last week after the service and then realized that it really wasn't a joke. That if I were ever to write a book where I could bring Jesus' teachings to life in a way that is relevant today, I would actually want to name that book The Bathwater, Not the Baby. Because, thank you, because I really feel strongly, as you can tell, that one of the benefits of traditional religion is the ritual and the feeling of coming together in a group, of coming together every week, saying some of those same prayers that we learned and didn't pay any attention to, singing some of those songs. There is some grounding that happens as a result of that, and a feeling of belonging and meaning that comes as a part of that. And to our detriment, I think, to society's detriment, when we've moved to a more secular society, we've lost the benefit of some of those traditions, some of those rituals that help make us feel like we're part of a group. And I'm not quite sure what to do with that. And to some extent, you knew I had no talk plan today, so I'm kind of rambling a bit. But I'm speaking from here. And I wonder if there's some way that we can get back to focusing on the teachings of Jesus rather than a man-made creation about the religion that they consider to be about Jesus. And I'm using that language borrowed from the book Discover the Power Within You, written by Eric Butterworth, where he talks about the fact that what happens is we move to this idea of it doesn't become the teachings of the person, it becomes the worship of the person. And in the process, we lose the nuggets that Jesus was really trying to teach us. And what was he trying to teach us? When he was asked to what the commandments are, he recited the Hebrew commandment, the first commandment for the Hebrews, for the Jewish people, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And then he gave us another commandment. And that was that we love each other. That we love each other. And in some ways, it's easy to think, oh, I can love the guy, you know, the vision of God that is the dude up on a throne in a robe with judge's hair and keeping notes on all the things that we do right or wrong. And he upended our understanding of that as well when he said that we and the Father are one. And he said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father. So if we take a look at these two commandments, just these two commandments, let's play with them a little. What we see is, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. What does that mean? Well, if there is only one God, and if you have resistance to this idea, imagine, as I did when I was a little girl, I would actually literally lose sleep over the idea that a child who had never heard of Jesus would never get into heaven. Because that's what I was taught. And it's taken me a while, took me a while to understand that that's not so, because that child who's never heard of Jesus is probably part of another culture where they worship the sun, or they worship Brahma, or some other name, because it is our human nature to recognize that we aren't alone, that we are part of something bigger. And for some people, they see it as a person. For others, they see it as an energy. For others, they see it as quantum science. Who cares? If it works for you to see God as a father figure, God as a judge, the creative energy that creates us as science or nature or life, great. Because what matters is a recognition that it's all one. And I did a wedding yesterday, and as I was leaving, it was interesting. It was a wedding, I've never done this before, a wedding in a cemetery. And it was stunning. It was beautiful. They have a gorgeous facility. It's got a lovely garden, and it's walled in, and it's just serene and beautiful. And as I was walking out, what popped into my head is this idea that God is love. Oh, I know what it was. I saw a sign on the back of a car. And it said, how can a loving God allow such pain? And as I was walking, I was like, yeah, God, we say God is love. What does that mean? For me, and you can choose your own interpretation because that's what unity is all about. But for me, God is literally energy. In which case, God is love is absolutely aligned because energy is created and form is created by the love of one atom for another atom through electromagnetic attraction. So love doesn't have to be this emotional thing. What if love is one negative atom and one positive atom or whatever it is? I've forgotten the science. But the idea of actually attracting things together. Because what we know is that anything that is solid, when you take it apart and get down to the photon level and the even smaller than the photon level, if there is such a thing, is that it exists in form and out of form, that there is no such thing as matter. It's just vibration. Anyway, told you I'm going to go off in various places today. Where I'm going with this is, what if we could love all of it with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength? Accept all of it. And then we move to the second part, which is to love one another. What Jesus said is that he and the Father were one. And then he said that we were one with him. So by extrapolation, we are all one. And what I think of is this love idea as a net, you know, like a trapeze. And if one part of the net gets lifted, the entire net gets lifted, or one part gets dropped, then it pulls down everyone else. That's us. And so the invitation, when we say love one another, is to be the most uplifting, attractive energy we can be. To vibrate in a way that raises that entire net up. And Jesus taught us that. He hung out with everyone. He wasn't afraid to say what he believed. He took time to be still and reground himself. And he took time, even when he was tired, to be with people and to heal them and to love them and to ask permission before he told them how to fix themselves or heal them. For me, that is one of the most powerful, powerful things that Jesus did. And that was the story of the man at the baths at Bethesda who had been lying there for almost 40 years feeling sorry for himself but living there. And other people would come to the pool and allow themselves to go in and be healed, but this poor guy was so invested in his story that he couldn't get into the pool. it was always too late. And Jesus asked him if he wanted to be healed. So, let's see if I can find some wisdom in my notes now that I've rambled to you all. Nope, don't want to say that. No, don't want to say that. The other thing that Jesus reminded us of, and this applies again to this idea that we always think of, you know, my God here, my God here, my God here, is in Matthew, another really powerful teaching of Jesus, is when he said that the sun, let's see if I can find it, the sun shines on the good and the evil equally. So there's no favoritism in this creative energy. And one of the most sad things that we hear about, and we saw it in the story All Quiet on the Western Front, you know, that you have people on one side of a conflict praying. People on the other side praying to the same God. What if? What if we could see that what we do to others affects us? What we do to ourselves affects others? And the best way that we can love God, love each other, love ourselves, is to allow the truth that there is only one. And we're it. That we are to express as love. Or we can express as anger. Or we can express as war. It's up to us. So whether you believe God gives us the choice or nature gives us the choice about how we show up, the important part is how we show up. And yes, it's not up to us alone. We don't create everything that happens in our life. My God, if we could, if everything we had that's uncomfortable in our life was something we created, we would uncreate it. Sometimes it's helpful to remember that we are part of everything and everyone. And that there are interactive energies going along and happening in our lives. So our wisdom comes from loving ourselves enough to be kind to ourselves. And if we're feeling upset, to take the time out to be still and calm ourselves. Because when we do that, it helps to calm everything. It's called systems theory, or the idea for me is the idea of the net. That if we are holding on to something, we're expressing and creating tension on that net. But if we're kind enough to ourselves to let go, it lets go for everyone. And so, Jesus said in John, "Truly I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do and greater works than these." We have power. We have choice. The religion about Jesus says that Jesus is divine, that he is the great exception. I believe Jesus is divine. I believe he is the great example. And so when he is divine, that's true. And so are we. And I leave you with this idea. Charles Fillmore, who is the person who, with his wife Myrtle, created or formed this idea of the denomination called Unity, which seeks to take some of those teachings of Jesus and separate it from the dogma of religion. He said this. He said, your mission is to express all that you can imagine God to be. We are God in expression, by energy in expression, life in expression, nature in expression, good in expression, whatever word you have for God, we are it in expression. We are expressing. So let's express the best version, the most loving version, because it really does make a difference. Where can you make the difference of God in somebody's life today? Anytime you see the word God, replace it with your name. It can transform how you look at the world. It is not the religion about Jesus. Love is the religion of Jesus. And love is the religion of each and every one of us. Please make it so. I bless you.